This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a certain kind of silence that comes with suburbia, the kind where nothing seems out of place. Lawns are trimmed, the porch lights flicker on right at dusk, and the people behind those windows live lives that look perfectly ordinary. Until you find out one of them might have been living a double life. One half PTA meetings and grocery lists, the other half bodies buried off Ocean Parkway. That's a paradox of Rex Heuermann and the allegations against him. The man accused of being the Gilgo Beach killer didn't look like a monster. He looked like the guy designing your kitchen remodel. The one who waved to the neighbors and shoveled his sidewalk. That's what makes him so terrifying, because the evil, if you believe the evidence, wasn't hiding in the shadows. It was hiding in plain sight. So today, let's walk into the mind of someone like Heuermann. Let's try to understand what kind of psychology it takes to build a life that splits so cleanly down the middle. It's not an excuse for the behavior. Again, it's trying to understand the mind. Because that's how you get places. Trying to understand. Husband, father, architect on one side, alleged sadist and murderer on the other. And the truth is, people like this rarely think of themselves as evil. They think of themselves as in control. When investigators went through Heuermann's home, they didn't find chaos. They found control disguised as clutter. Rooms piled high with papers, boxes, weapons, blueprints, 200 guns. Hidden behind walls, secret rooms, soundproofing. And underneath that ordinary house, the vault is private command center, which no one went into. And everybody just seemed to be like, oh, that's Rex's spot. We don't go in there. And it's totally normal that we don't go in there. It's totally normal to have a person in your house say, don't ever go into this space in this house. No, it's not. And if anyone is telling you that in your house, that's a red flag. It's one thing to have your spaces and things like that. It's another to be that adamant and don't go there. Should be no place in your house that you are not allowed into. You should be able to go anywhere. At least take a peek. That basement is a perfect metaphor for his mind. Tightly sealed, compartmentalized, and loaded. Above ground, he's a family man, the provider, the successful architect. Below ground, allegedly, in every sense, is where he stashes the parts of himself he doesn't want the world to see. To live that way, you have to perfect a kind of mental origami, folding the most grotesque parts of your psyche so tightly you can still make small talk in the break room afterward. Psychologists call it compartmentalization, but in practice, it's more like self-surgery. You take the part of you that commits horror and you wall it off from the part that eats dinner with your kids. It's the only way your fantasy and facade can coexist. And if you can convince yourself those worlds don't overlap, that you can keep living both, and people like Heuermann, they thrive on that illusion. Because the moment those compartments collapse, when the mask slips, everything falls apart. That's why so many serial offenders spend years refining their performances of normalcy. They study it. They rehearse it. They build their alibis long before they ever need them. You could say Heuermann built a career out of architecture, but he built a life out of illusion. When you look at the alleged Gilgo Beach murders, you're looking at an organized mind. This wasn't random violence. These were acts of ritual control. The victims weren't chosen by chance. They were chosen because they were vulnerable, easy to access, and less likely to trigger an immediate police response. It's not coincidence. That is calculation. He chose a hunting ground where law enforcement jurisdiction was murky. Marshland, beaches, borders, and counties. He used burlap to wrap bodies, a material that hides, absorbs, and decomposes slowly. He didn't dump one body in panic. He dumped several over time, in patterns, allegedly. And that's what's so unnerving. It's not chaos. It's choreography. And in that choreography, you can see the psychology of domination. The victims weren't just killed. They were controlled, bound, positioned, silenced. It's not about rage. It's about power. It's about the godlike feeling of deciding who lives and who dies and getting away with it. People like Heuermann feed off that rush of control. It's not just about the act itself. It's about the planning, the anticipation, and the fantasy. He may have spent days or even weeks imagining it before he ever actually acted, because fantasy is the incubator of behavior. Start small. Maybe an image, maybe a story that plays in your head when no one's looking, and over time, fantasy becomes rehearsal. The brain gets addicted to it. It needs a real outlet. And that's where sadism comes in. Not necessarily the cartoonish kind we see in movies, but the psychological sadism of domination. Reports suggest he may have made taunting phone calls to the victims' families. That's not impulsive cruelty. That's deliberate psychological theater. The joy of knowing you're the cause of someone else's anguish. It's not about killing anymore. It's about control without consequence. And yet, while he was allegedly carrying out these acts, his family's life rolled on like nothing happened. Vacations, school events, work projects. He'd allegedly wait until his wife and kids were out of town before acting. I mean, think about what that means. The discipline it takes to schedule your murders around family travel plans. And then making it normal that you don't travel with your family. Yeah, you guys go off. I'll be here. I'm working late. That's not insanity. That's a chilling form of sanity misused. It's what psychologists call high-functioning psychopathy. The mask of normalcy isn't fake. It's a tool. They can feel charm, humor, intellect. They can mimic empathy perfectly, but only as a means to an end. Underneath that, there's no real emotional core. Just mimicry and control. People like this don't feel what you feel. They observe it, study it, and use it as camouflage. That's how he could work on architectural plans by day and study criminal profiling by night. It's reported he read books on serial killers, even studied the methods used to catch them. He was designing his crimes like he designed his buildings. Structurally sound, visually unremarkable, and meant to last. You can almost imagine the thrill he must have felt every time another news story aired and didn't mention his name. Every year that passed reinforced the illusion that he was untouchable. And once you believe you're untouchable and start testing the limits, that's the psychology of escalation. The longer you get away with something, the more you need to feel that high again to prove to yourself you're still smarter than everyone else. So the crimes become riskier, the fantasies darker, and the arrogance sharper. In the end, people like this always build their own trap because the control they worship eventually turns on them. It demands attention, demands repetition, until the smallest slip, a strand of hair, a pizza crust, a digital trace, brings the whole architecture crashing down. When investigators finally arrested Heuermann, what they found was less of a house and more of a psychological time capsule. The clutter, the guns, the hidden rooms. It's like the psychological or the physical manifestation of everything he'd been keeping inside his mind for years. A mind built on secrecy will always externalize itself somehow. You can tell a lot about a person by the space they create. He designed structures for a living, but his own house was a mausoleum of hidden intent, the perfect stage for a man who lived divided between function and decay. And he convinced his family that this is normal and okay to live like this. That duality, order above chaos below, runs through everything about him, even his demeanor after arrest. No remorse, no visible panic, just the same cold detachment. Because in his mind, being caught doesn't necessarily mean losing control. It just means the game changes. Now the control is withholding, not giving the confession, not giving closure, remaining the dark enigma everyone keeps talking about. For people like this, attention is oxygen. So what makes a person like Rex Heuermann There's no single origin story, but most experts point to a cocktail of traits that mix nature and nurture in all the wrong ways. Maybe there's early trauma, emotional neglect, sexual shame, humiliation, exposure to violence. Maybe there's neurological wiring that dulls empathy and amplifies fantasy. Maybe there's a slow drip of resentment that builds over decades. But eventually, fantasy meets opportunity, and opportunity meets compulsion. These individuals often don't explode overnight. They evolve. They start by imagining control, then testing it, then needing more of it. Their fantasies outgrow their inhibitions. And by the time they act, they've already rehearsed it in their head so many times that it feels inevitable. It's just how it goes. To them, it's not an act of rage. It's an act of completion. We often ask, how could someone like that for so long go on living without anyone noticing? The hard truth is people like this are experts in being noticed just enough. They want to appear strange enough to be interesting, but normal enough to be dismissed. They hide behind their jobs, their marriages, their kids, their mortgages, because society loves structure. We trust it. A man with a family and a career doesn't fit our idea of a predator. That's a psychological sleight of hand. The camouflage of competence. And that's what makes these crimes feel just so damn personal to the public. Because deep down, we all know someone who hides behind respectability, someone who makes your skin crawl, but you can't quite explain why. That's why cases like this strike such a nerve. They expose the lie that monsters are easy to spot. They're not. Sometimes they're just architects with good posture and bad secrets. But make no mistake, the alleged crimes here are not the product of stress or mental illness in the colloquial sense. They're the product of deliberate cruelty sustained over time. What we're looking at isn't a man who snapped, it's a man who thrived. People who found a way, or someone in this case, who found a way to merge sexual gratification with domination, and then build a secret life around it. The internet searches for torture, for methods of control and trophies. They all point to a sadistic personality driven by the thrill of power, not the release of rage. It's not about emotion, it's about engineering. And that's the most chilling part. He engineered his life the way he designed his buildings, precision, patience, and absolute ownership of every detail. In the end, what does it mean to understand someone like Rex Heerman? It doesn't mean empathizing, that's for sure. It means recognizing how methodical evil can be when it wears the face of normalcy. It means seeing how the need for control left unchecked can mutate into a hunger for domination. It means remembering that psychopathy isn't always loud. Sometimes it's polite, it's punctual, and professionally dressed. The scariest monsters aren't the ones who hide in the closets, in the dark. They're the ones who learn to smile in the daylight. And so we're left with this: a man whose alleged crimes read like blueprints of human depravity. Lines drawn carefully across the decades, intersecting at points of cruelty and concealment. When you strip away the headlines, what's left is a study in psychological architecture, the way the human mind can build entire structures to contain its horror. Upstairs, the architect draws perfect lines. Downstairs, the killer builds walls no one can see. And for years it worked, until one day the walls cracked, the secrets seeped out, and the silence of suburbia broke, revealing the twisted design beneath. That's the alleged mind of Rex Heerman, a blueprint of control, a monument to denial, and a warning to anyone who still believes monsters only live in stories. Give me your thoughts in the comments section. You know somebody like Rex? You have a Rex in your life? Did you at one point in time? They don't always go to these sort of extremes, but they can be just as damaging to those who have to encounter them. and live with their madness. Again, tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there. And do that same search wherever you get podcasts so you can take us with you wherever you go. Hit subscribe right now so you don't forget. And then you get all of the stuff that we put out for you every single day. Lots of content every day for you. Check it out. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.